Welcome to the Pearl of Great Price podcast. It's the 4th of March. Thanks for joining us today. And on this day in Christian history, we go back to the year 1681. We travel to Pennsylvania. Today, the English King Charles II handed over a large piece of his American landowners along the North Atlantic coast to William Penn in order to pay off debts that the king had owed to Penn's father, who was an admiral and a politician. This land included the present-day states of Pennsylvania and Delaware. And Penn immediately set sail and took his first step on American soil in Newcastle, sailing up the Delaware Bay and the Delaware River. William Penn was an early member of the Religious Society of Friends, the Quakers, and a staunch advocate of democracy and religious freedom. His deep religious convictions had put him in prison several times in the Tower of London, where he had written a book, No Cross, No Crown, which had become regarded as a classic in some quarters, encouraging a return to primitive Christianity. Penn's dream of setting up an area sympathetic to Quakers, and therefore facilitating a mass emigration of English Quakers, became a reality when the king granted this charter. It now seems extraordinarily generous, and it made Penn the world's largest private, that is non-royal, landowner, with over 45,000 square miles. As well as the land, he gained sovereign rule of the territory, with all rights and privileges, except the power to declare war. Some Quakers had already moved to North America, but the New England Puritans were as hostile towards Quakers as Anglicans in England were, and some of them had already been banished to the Caribbean. The land of Pennsylvania didn't belong to anyone, and was occupied by many Native American tribes. But in this colonial age, it was seen to have been owned by the Duke of York. He had acquiesced to the king, but he retained New York and the area around Newcastle. In return, one-fifth of all gold and silver mined in the province was to be remitted to the crown, and the king was freed of a debt to Penn's family of what was then £16,000, the equivalent to £2.5 million today. Having proven himself as a scholar, Penn now had to demonstrate the practical skills of a real estate promoter, a city planner, and a governor for what he referred to as his holy experiment. He named the province Pennsylvania, meaning Penn's Woods. And under his direction, the city of Philadelphia was planned and developed, and it would become America's largest city until New York overtook it in 1810. It attracted many radical thinkers, like the early abolitionist Benjamin Lay, who became a thorn in the side of the Quaker elite. For more about that, you can listen to the podcast of February the 8th. Philadelphia was also arranged to be grid-like with its streets, and to be easy to navigate, unlike London, where Penn was from, which had evolved organically in narrow, cobbled, winding roads. The streets in Philadelphia are named with numbers and tree names, which is a nod to the Sylvan in Pennsylvania. Penn became known for his good relations and successful treaties with the Lenape Native Americans. And the peace between the Lenape Turtle Clan and Penn's successors would endure for over 70 years. The success of this treaty made international renown, and was remarked upon by Voltaire, who called it the only treaty never sworn to and never broken. However, Penn's Quaker government was not viewed favourably by the previous Dutch and Swedish colonists, and also the earlier English settlers in what is now Delaware. So how has history judged his holy experiment and him as a person? Mainly positively. These are the words of American historian Mary Maplestone. Penn liked money, and although he was certainly sincere about his ambitions for a holy experiment in Pennsylvania, he also expected to get rich. He was, however, extravagant, a bad manager and businessman, and not very astute in judging people and making appointments. Penn was gregarious. He had many friends, and he was very good at developing the useful connections which protected him through many crises. Both his marriages were happy, and he would describe himself as a family man, although the public affairs took him away from home a great deal. Financial and family troubles sadly marked the end of his life. The burden of paying for his eldest son's dissolute life, the many generous loans which he failed to press, and being cheated by his financial advisor, all landed him in a debtor's prison back in England. Although this turned into house arrest, until rich Quakers paid off his debts for him. However, William Penn died penniless in 1718 at his home in Ruscombe near Twyford in Berkshire. And his holy experiment, Pennsylvania, slowly drifted away from a colony founded by religion to a secular state dominated by commerce. The Quaker Oats cereal brand had a standing Quaker Man logo, which dated back to 1877 and was identified in their advertising after 1909 as William Penn. But after the war in 1946, the logo was changed into a head and shoulders portrait of the smiling Quaker Man. And the Quaker Oats Company's website currently claims that their logo is not a depiction anymore of William Penn. That's all from the Pearl of Great Price today. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and please join us tomorrow if you can, as we look at the man behind the founding of the first Baptist church in the States. Visit our website for more information at www.pogp.net. And if you'd like to respond directly to the show, email us on pogppod@gmail.com. Have a lovely day wherever you are, and thanks for listening. We are grateful to Jeremiah Jones for today's music, and have a lovely day wherever you are. Thanks for listening.